Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page and click Share This.
These men belonged to Al-Qaeda, a group of extremists who have distorted and defiled Islam, one of the world's great religions.
To risk 100,000 American lives, and then that's not going to be enough, so you put in another 30,000, then another 30,000. Before long, you're fighting Vietnam all over again.
We've had 46 million Americans who could be here since Roe v. Wade who are not voting. And I think that, in a sense, is a Holocaust. I really do.
Whereas before I was like, do not give me a lecture on how to live my life when I know I'm a pretty decent human being. They go, I'm a good Christian and I go to church and this is the way you should live your life. But I now have faith in those who say they represent a faith. Wow, I finally met someone who practices but doesn't preach.
The American people have always been deeply religious. Christians have taken for granted for a long time that those religious inclinations have an affinity with historic Christianity, but that is less and less true as time goes by, less and less true as America becomes more religiously diverse, eclectic. Perhaps that's the best word to describe what we've discovered in a new survey on the religious beliefs and practices of Americans conducted by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. Eclectic. Even those who self-identify as Christians believe in things like reincarnation and astrology. About a quarter of them, in fact, do. And of course, those things are inconsistent with Christianity, but how do we deal with the religious pluralism and eclecticism of our religious landscape, especially among Christians? Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later with Dr. William Lane Craig. First, we're going to hear some of this survey from Greg Smith. He joins us in just a moment. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live on this Friday afternoon, December the 11th. We'll spend the first half hour talking with Greg Smith of the Pew Forum and Dr. William Lane Craig of the Talbot School of Theology about the new survey on the religious beliefs and practices of Americans. Then we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, four pieces of Issues Etc. audio to play for you, and then it's your chance to call and vote for the soundbite of the week. 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MY-IE. You can also email your votes, talkback@issuesetc.org. Remember to tell us who you are, where you're listening, and why you're voting for the soundbite you're voting for, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter your votes at @issuesetc. Greg Smith is senior researcher for the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life based in Washington, D.C. He joins us to talk about their new survey on the religious beliefs and practices of Americans. Greg, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me.
In this survey, is there evidence of, I guess, the mixing of traditionally different religious beliefs in the way that Americans are answering this survey?
Well, yes, there is, and we see it in a couple of different ways. For one thing, we see that a lot of people tell us that they sometimes attend religious services outside their own faith. For the most part, this is restricted to religions that are fairly closely related to one's own faith. Nevertheless, we think this mixing is significant. We have lots of Protestants, for instance, saying that they sometimes attend services of denominations different than their own, or that they even attend Catholic masses. Similarly, we see lots of Catholics saying that they sometimes attend Protestant services. So that's one kind of mixing that's going on. The other really significant finding of this survey is that lots and lots of people, including lots of Christians from a variety of backgrounds, say that they believe in things that are really traditionally more characteristic of New Age or Eastern beliefs. For instance, we find that about a quarter of the population says that they believe in reincarnation, which was defined explicitly as the belief that people are reborn again and again in this world. We see a similar number of people who say that they believe in astrology, that the movement of the planets and stars governs day-to-day events on Earth.
So I'm curious about the kind of the actual religious practices here. The Christians who attend services regularly, and you might need to define that in terms of the survey, is there a difference among those who attend regularly religious services and those who don't, who also talk about the mixing in Eastern beliefs, reincarnation, and the like?
Well, there certainly are significant differences between Christians who attend church regularly and those who attend less often. And the way we define that in this survey is between people who attend church on a weekly basis and those who attend less often. What we find is that the most frequent churchgoers are less likely to say that they believe in some of these New Age or Eastern or other supernatural phenomena. For instance, among white evangelical Protestants who say they attend church every single week, about 60% of them don't profess beliefs in any of these eight or so Eastern or New Age phenomena. That's about twice as high as we see among people who attend church less often.
What did you discover about mystical experience, religious experiences that Americans report having?
Well, I thought that was one of the more interesting questions in the survey. We asked people, have you yourself ever had a religious or mystical experience, which is to say, a moment of sudden religious insight or awakening? What we find is that about half of the population tells us that they have had this kind of experience, and that marks the continuation of a gradual and steady increase over the last four decades or so. In the 1960s, when Gallup asked this same question, they found that about 22% of people had a religious or mystical experience. That crept up to about 30% and held there in the 1970s and 1990s. And as I mentioned, today it's all the way up to half of the population. Now, those findings are even more interesting if we look at some subgroups in the population. We find, perhaps not surprisingly, that white evangelical Protestants as well as black Protestants are among the groups who are most familiar with this kind of experience. And I think it would be safe to infer that many of them might be speaking of a born-again experience that they've had. So that's interesting. But what's really interesting to me is looking at the group of people that's unaffiliated, that is, people who are atheists or agnostics or say they just don't belong to any particular religion. Among that group, 30% say they have had a religious or mystical experience. Now, that's lower than among many other religious groups, but interestingly, it's higher than what we saw among the entire general population four decades ago. So this group of unaffiliated, this finding goes to show that this group of the unaffiliated is not simply secular people. There are a lot of people in this group with a real supernatural, religious, or mystical sensibility.
Two quick questions near the end here. What did the survey discover about religiously mixed marriages?
Well, you know, one of the things that was really interesting is that we expected to find that attendance at multiple types of religious services would be a byproduct, partly or even mostly, of being in religiously mixed marriages. But what we found is that relationship isn't so straightforward. There are two interesting things about people who are in relationships and marriages with people from a different faith. First of all, and interestingly, people who are in religiously mixed marriages tend to be less religious than people who are married to someone of the same faith. That's true if we look at church attendance. It's also true if we look at other measures of religious commitment. So that's the first thing to notice. However, among people who do attend religious services, the survey confirms that people in religiously mixed marriages are more likely to attend multiple places, to mix faiths, if you will, than are people who are married to a spouse with the same faith background.
Finally, if you had to put a title on the religious beliefs and practices of Americans as they stand today, what would it be, Greg?
Yeah, I think it would be American religious beliefs diverse and complex. We've known for a long time that that's true at the level of the society. We've known for a long time, for instance, that there are lots of diverse religions represented in the United States. We've known that religion in the United States is characterized by a high degree of churn and changing of faiths. What this survey shows is that that complexity and diversity is present not just at the level of society, but in fact at the level of the individual. Individual people hold beliefs from a variety of different traditions themselves. I think that's what's really interesting.
Folks, you can read this new survey by the Pew Forum at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Greg Smith is senior researcher for the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life based in Washington, D.C. Greg, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Joining us to do some analysis of what the Pew Forum survey brought us, Dr. William Lane Craig. He's research professor of philosophy at Talbot School of Theology, president of the Evangelical Philosophical Society, co-editor of the new book, God is Great, God is Good. Dr. Craig, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be with you.
With only about 30 seconds before we take a break here, what is the danger of Christians using an experiential standard for their religious beliefs and practices? About 30 seconds.
Well, if experience is not tied to intellectual content, the danger is that one can be trapped into a false worldview and come to believe things that are simply wrong.
Are you surprised at the eclecticism of some Christians' beliefs, reincarnation?
I'm not really surprised, frankly, by the statistics that I see on the survey, and I'm not even all that discouraged by many of them.
All right, when we come back, we'll find out what Dr. Craig means. It's Friday, December the 11th. We're coming to you live. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. You can join us as well as we talk about the findings of a Pew Forum survey on the religious beliefs and practices of Americans. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us with questions or comments. Talkback at issuesetc.org. More with Dr. William Lane Craig, president of the Evangelical Philosophical Society, co-editor of the new book, God is Great, God is Good. After this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The new Issues Etc. YouTube video features Benny Hinn.
Adam was a super being, that he had dominion over the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, which means he used to fly. Adam not only flew, he flew to space. With one thought, he'd be on the moon.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play.
Joel Osteen.
You may have to weed through 100 negative thoughts before you come to the right sound, the voice of victory that's saying, you are blessed, you are prosperous, you can do all things, your best days are still ahead. Latch on to those thoughts.
Never heard the word impossible this time. There's no...
And Deepak Chopra.
How come you're all so convinced that God is a he and Satan is a he? How come we have these ideas that are so mythical, that are so primitive?
Check out the new Issues Etc. YouTube video at issuesetc.org and click support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the results of a Pew Forum survey on the religious beliefs and practices of Americans. Dr. William Lane Craig is our guest. Dr. Craig, before the break, I raised the issue of the eclectic nature of some Christians' beliefs and practices. You said you were neither surprised nor particularly discouraged by the results. Why is that?
Well, first, we need to understand, Todd, when you say Christians, this includes not just evangelicals. This includes the whole swath of mainline denominations, Catholics, the whole gamut that self-identifies as Christian. So this shouldn't in any way be thought to be a specific reflection of what evangelicals believe. And the reason I'm not surprised at that is when you think that ever since the 1960s, there has been this tremendous cultural pressure toward a kind of new age spirituality. When you think that Oprah Winfrey is probably one of the most influential spiritual leaders in the United States, you think of Deepak Chopra, you think of rock music, it's not surprising that this would have a tremendous cultural influence with regard to these sorts of beliefs. Now, the thing that I thought was interesting from the Pew survey that I'm not discouraged about was what they talked about the people attending denominations or services of different faiths. That I don't think is really discouraging at all, because when he says faiths, what you need to understand is that for the average man, that means denomination, not, for example, a Christian going to a Buddhist temple. He means the United Methodist going over to the Baptist church in town. That's a different faith. And in fact, according to the Pew survey, around 18% of Protestants will attend some non-Protestant Christian church services. But for the most part, they're talking about Protestants going to other Protestant services. He said that 20% of Catholics will sometimes attend Protestant services. I think that's tremendously encouraging. In my own Sunday school class, I have a number of Catholics who don't get the kind of instruction we offer in their Catholic church, so they come over to our evangelical Protestant church to sit in my class and get instruction in Christian doctrine and apologetics. So the current is going both ways, and I think it's very encouraging to think that Catholics may from time to time be appearing in our evangelical Protestant churches where we can reach out to them and have an influence on them.
Let's compare and contrast the Christian view of God with the one that seems highlighted in the Pew Forum survey, that is the Eastern view of God.
Yes, it's not really an Eastern view when you look at some of the results that they're surveying for. For example, astrology or spiritual energy being connected with crystals or certain objects. This is really more New Agey stuff or really ancient paganism as opposed to, say, Buddhism or Taoism or Hinduism or something of that sort. So it's a kind of blend of Eastern religion, but heavily, heavily influenced by New Age theology here in the United States, kind of pop mysticism, if you will. And I think that one of the main differences would be that Christians conceive of God as a person, as a personal being who is distinct from the world, is the creator of the world, to whom we are morally responsible, and whose forgiveness and moral cleansing we need in our lives. Also, that how we respond to that personal being will determine our eventual destiny after life. This is very, very different from these New Age and Eastern views, which tend to be pantheistic, that is to say, they blur the distinction between God and the world. They do not think of God as a personal being. They don't think of sin and salvation as inherent parts of religion, and nor do they hope typically for personal immortality.
On the issue of, for some reason, reincarnation was kind of a popular belief among as you say, those who self-identify as Christians. 22% said that they believe in it. Just to kind of sweep that one where it belongs, is reincarnation compatible in any way with historic Christianity?
No, it's not. The Bible says that it is appointed to man to die once, and after that comes judgment. In fact, the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead is a thorn in the eye of reincarnation, because what it says is that far from being reincarnated in various bodies, you are going to be raised bodily from the dead and appear before God at his judgment throne. So the very doctrine of the resurrection on which Christianity stands or falls is incompatible with the idea of multiple rebirths.
How can you explain many Americans' inconsistent beliefs mixing Christianity with New Age beliefs and practices?
That is really perplexing. For example, he said that 10% of evangelicals believe in reincarnation. It is astonishing when you think about it. Now, that, of course, means 90% don't, which is really good news. But nevertheless, that even this tiny minority of 10% could be so benighted as to think that you can believe in reincarnation and be a Christian, it's puzzling. I think it's probably a manifestation of how poorly discipled many people are in our churches. They come to church, maybe attend services, maybe they go to some sort of a Bible study where you read a verse and tell what it means to you, but they're not really discipled in Christian doctrine.
Okay, I'm curious about, we talked early about the religious experience angle of this, and mm-hmm. one of the things noted by the report from the Pew Forum for Religion and Public Life is the pretty remarkable growth, or almost a kind of turnaround on those who say yes to having had a religious or mystical experience since
right.
about the mid-70s. How do you account for that growth in at least people reporting mystical experiences?
Yes, I mean, I'm no sociologist, but I hope that this would reflect a growing evangelical presence in the United States, which emphasizes the necessity of being born again. And probably this represents also, I think, a surging charismatic movement. Many people talk about how we're in the sort of third wave charismatic movement today. And I suspect that the combination of growing evangelical influence along with this surging charismatic movement that exists today would help to explain a large part of this increase in people reporting having had spiritual experiences.
Were you surprised to learn that those who, by and large, but not exclusively, of course, those who are engaged in religiously mixed marriages are less likely to attend services as opposed to those who are in same religion marriages?
Yes, I did not anticipate that, and it does sound like being in a mixed marriage tends to have a deadening effect on both partners, that neither one of them then seems to practice his religion in a faithful way, probably because of the disagreement that exists between the couple.
How would you characterize the change that's taken place? I started our conversation at the beginning of the hour saying that Americans are religious and remain a religious people, generally speaking. For many years, that was that religion, that general religious impulse, had an affinity with historic Christianity. It wasn't identical with it. But things do seem to be changing at least a bit.
Yes, at least it is among mainline Protestants and Catholics. You've got to remember again that this survey cuts across the wide swath of American churchianity. And just think of all the urban churches, the lower class churches, the liberal churches, all of these are reflected in these results. I think that one thing that is very encouraging that shows up in the survey is that denominational labels seem to matter a lot less today. People are not really concerned as much with your denominational affiliation, and I think that's quite good. It means that we can unite on the essentials more easily. The disturbing part would be that so many people buy into, frankly, just pagan superstitious ideas like astrology, for example, that 25% of American people apparently believe in astrology. Now, in an age of modern astronomy and astrophysics, this is just, it is a an indictment of our science education, frankly, in our secondary schools and primary schools, that this sort of thing could exist, that people would believe in something as superstitious as astrology or as spiritual energy. So it really is distressing. These are minorities in every case. They never get much above 25% of the population. But when you mix them all together, the survey does say that the majorities, apart from evangelicals, thank God, apart from evangelicals, the majority of self-identified Christian hold to at least one of these weird non-biblical beliefs.
We're talking with Dr. William Lane Craig about a new survey on the religious beliefs and practices of Americans. He's research professor of philosophy at Talbot School of Theology, president of the Evangelical Philosophical Society. He's co-editor of a new book, God is Great, God is Good. You can purchase this book at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. On the other side of the break, 5 more minutes with Dr. Craig, and then we'll play Issues Etc., soundbite of the week. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org.
From His Fullness, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
We who are utterly empty, with nothing in us but sin and corruption, we receive from Jesus, this child, everything that he is as both God and man. The fullness of deity dwells bodily in him.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size, year-end, tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2009. Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Encouraging news from the Centers for Disease Control.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A new report from the Centers for Disease Control shows the abortion rate declining from 1990 to 2005. According to LifeNews.com, the best news is that the abortion rate fell more than one-third during the years studied. Despite claims by abortion advocates to the contrary, the abortion rate fell during the first few years of the Bush presidency, while the birth rate actually rose toward the end of his administration. Black women continued to have much higher abortion rates than white or Hispanic women. However, abortions declined among all races.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the Pew Survey on religious practices and beliefs among Americans. Dr. William Lane Craig is our guest for just a few more minutes. Then it's time for Soundbite of the Week. Chris in Indianapolis sends us this email, Dr. Craig. He says, the syncretism revealed in this survey is disturbing. Are today's seeker-driven churches discipling Christians in their care well enough to equip them to know that these New Age beliefs are incompatible with the historic Christian faith, or are seeker-driven churches contributing to the problem of shallow discipleship? Your thoughts?
Well, that's a very, very good question to ask, but I think it is important to remember these statistics that the Pew Foundation has shared with us are not the result of seeker-driven churches. These are largely reflective of non-evangelical denominations. Over and over again, the survey showed that it is in the liberal, mainline, non-evangelical denominations that these sorts of beliefs are highest. Among evangelicals, they're down around 10%, 13%, and so forth. Now, that's too high, but at least we shouldn't attribute the statistics that we've heard to the failure of seeker-driven churches. That's a tiny minority of what's been surveyed here. Having said that, however, places like Willow Creek have, to their credit, examined their own programs and have admitted that they have not done as good a job as they needed to do in discipling people. And I do think that all of our churches need to have a much more rigorous training program or curriculum for adults and teenagers in Christian doctrine and apologetics. I can't remember the last time I've heard mentioned from the pulpit or in a sermon something about reincarnation, for example, and how that's incompatible with Christian beliefs. These issues need to be addressed more explicitly.
Dr. William Lane Craig is research professor of philosophy at Talbot School of Theology. He's president of the Evangelical Philosophical Society, and he's co-editor of the new book, God is Great, God is Good. Dr. Craig, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Glad to be with you, Todd.